number three is an update on legislative matters, including the state budget adjustment bill and the 2011-2013 state budget bill, Assembly Bill 40, and Senate Bill 27. The updates will be from IGR staff and Department of Administrative Services. This is informational.
Mr. De La Rosa, you're going to start, please.
IGR staff have compiled a brief summary report that you have before you that we'd like to utilize for purposes of this meeting. On March 1st, the governor introduced his 2011-2013 biennial state budget. And then that evening was introduced by the Finance Committee and introduced as Senate Bill 40 and Senate Bill 27. And for purposes of today's preliminary report is a summary of the governor's budget and its potential impact on some of the major services and programs in Milwaukee County. This report is based on the preliminary review of the statutory language, which is over 1,300 pages, as well as the review of the budget and brief and the executive summary. The nonpartisan legislative fiscal bureau could present its analysis of the budget perhaps by the end of this month. That would be the earliest which would be anticipated. Since its introduction, IGR has worked closely with Dallas, county department heads, and constitutional officers begin to analyze and get a handle on the impact of the budget on Milwaukee County. At this time, some of the figures that we'll be presenting are estimates. Some of them will be provided within a range of figures. Further analysis still needs to be compiled in order to get the true impact of this budget, as well as further discussions with the Department of Madison. With that said, the governor introduced his budget basically by declaring that this budget is about Wisconsin's future. And is beginning to put the fiscal house of the state in order, and doing so without raising taxes. But by doing so, it has virtually cut into all aids that have been provided from education, health student services, and local funding to municipalities. With that said, we can get into some of the details of the impacts of the budget. But one thing I would like to mention at the outset, a major component in the governor's budget deals with medical assistance. And it's problematic as it stands right now because we can't get a true effect of what the impact on Milwaukee County is, particularly because the budget adjustment bill grants the Department of Health and Health Services significant latitude in modifying health care policies and being able to do that by administrative rule. So with that uncertainty, it's very difficult to be able to get your arms around financially what the major impact of such a major component would be to Milwaukee County. For example, if the state was to change the eligibility and benefits criteria for medical assistance individuals, it very well could shift costs down to the local level, which could be very detrimental to the county. That point is still uncertain and is not known at this point. What is known in the governor's budget is there's basically a handful of aid services, program services, that have been cut for purposes of calendar year 11. Again, for this current calendar year, there seems to be a handful of components that are impacted. Cuts take place in the area of youth aids, community aids, mental health, and alcohol and social and substance abuse, as well as to a lesser extent, court funding or supportive grant funding for funding courts, as well as the guardian ad litem. Those seem to be the component areas that seem to have the most immediate impact as it relates to calendar year 11. Calendar year 12, as Mr. Ryan will indicate, is a major difference. Across all funding programs, and some of which are very significant to Milwaukee County. However, before we get there, we would like to say that the governor's budget did close one of the state's juvenile correctional facilities. That's been a contention of Milwaukee County, because without closing one of the facilities, quite frankly, the juvenile correctional institutional rates could have jumped up so high that it could have cost Milwaukee all $8 million. But with the closing one of those facilities, that is, it does provide some relief. Unfortunately, we contend that the wrong facility was closed. One's being closed is in Waukesha, Ethan Allen, versus Lincoln Hills, which is further away and creates distance and transportation cost increases. However, keeping in mind that the youth aids is cut 10%, there's also a rate increase, $9 the first year and $5 the second year, and the JCI rates. So those will still have impact relative to Milwaukee County. One other significant item I would like to call your attention to deals with transit. The budget provides a reduction in state aids for transit in the second year in calendar year 12, no cut in the current calendar year, but it'll be next year, there'll be a 10% cut. And also it shifts the funding source. Currently, transit is funded out of the segregated transportation fund that will be taken out and dropped into the general fund, where I have to compete with schools and prisons and health and social services and everyone else for funding. This is particularly detrimental to transit at a time when we don't have a dedicated funding source and when there's a stricter fiscal limits are being placed on counties in this budget, as well as the fact that additional revenues are being put into the segregated transportation fund as mass transit is taken out, so that's really unfair. The other area where we do have some unknowns relates to family care. The governor's budget places caps on family care, caps on enrollment, which could create waiting list situations that even could be very detrimental to people that are elderly and disabled, as well as the fact that the enrollment caps are going to take place, are going to be managed by the state from a statewide perspective, which could mean that disenrollment in Milwaukee County could be sent over to some other community in the far western part of the state. And those items still need to be clarified and worked out to some extent. And also what I would like to just call your attention to briefly in the area of TAD and AIM funding, the Treatment Alternative and Diversion Program, TAD, as well as the Access Information and Measures Program, were funded by federal stimulus, one-time federal stimulus dollars. Those dollars are scheduled to expire at the end of this year. So the governor's budget does not have funding included in for TAD and AIM. As well as, I guess at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Johnson to talk about the impacts relative to calendar year as well as some of the major components of the county.
Okay, I want to make a comment before the place, and that is, I did hear from Mr. Regini in a couple of cases, but we certainly want to more. And for speaking to the audience, everybody, the main players are certainly here, and I would allow time for any of you to speak after we hear from Mr. Regini, because you've all been hit by what we talked about. Here's what may I ask for the committee, and you tell me if this is possible or not when you come up. Okay, we've summarized. I've got more than I want to of the budget repair bill and the budget already, to tell you the truth. But we've summarized a lot of possibilities, and some seem pretty secure. What I'm looking for, when I look at Mr. Graham, and I know the fact going from the from the segregated fund to the general fund, the competition with schools and prisons, et cetera, is going to be a major problem. Mr. Gugliotta talked to us about that when we met last month, if members recall of that. And that was the fear that was going to happen there. But what we're looking for, and I see Lisa Joe Marks, of course, for child support. I see Jerry Lyday at Health and Human Services, Stephanie Sue Stein in family care and for the aged, and the health services, which the governor's taken a lot more power on. And I talked about Mr. Grant, and if I'm missing someone, I'm sorry, but you can certainly speak too. But and I know the basics here are that we are, a lot of these changes are particularly coming to heavy numbers in 2012 versus 2011. Mr. Regini has said that, and I'm sure he can repeat that for us. So I appreciate Mr. De La Rosa's and Mr. Regini's. I presume we all do this. This is something that I think all of us on the county board will be looking for. And that's what I'm saying is a one- or two-page sheet saying, okay, this is our best. Here's what we've heard. Here's what we know is in the bill, which is going to pass, okay? And here's what steps, or here's what we're going to have to prepare for. Am I looking at everyone? Are people nodding me that that's a possibility? And so it'd be good to have them from Jerry Lyday, et cetera, et cetera. Now, Barbara Beckert has done this, and did people see this email this morning? Was this sent this morning or yesterday?
Yes, Ms. Beckert.
Okay. It's pretty extensive. I've copied, and I suggest people do this as well. It talks about cuts to Medicaid, potential mental health, and this, my day I'm sure you could speak to, just medical assistance in general, okay? So, I hope I'm not a turn. I guess I am asking for you to summarize what you know so far after Mr. Regini, thank you, okay? And then getting something to us in a timely fashion. I'm not asking for it tomorrow. We know how busy everybody is, okay? But I think you all have a pretty good idea where this stands, and we all know this bill is going to pass. So, and in particularly looking, you know, what we're going to have to deal with on the various committees we serve on, and in particular intergovernmental, where we can go from. This would be a great help, these little sheets. I'm sure Mr. Regini is working with you now as, you know, as your cabinet and the people involved looking at your budgets. Mr. De La Rosa wants to be our advocate in this area, and I know you had a league supervisor, that's fine. But we'll get this to you. And I'm sure it helped Mr. De La Rosa and our staff, and our staff of two, yes. Kelly, thank you. And helping them kind of get the summaries together when they come to the Hill and lobby on these things, as we'll have to do in the coming months. Okay, I've said enough. Mr. Regini, thank you. I've always said enough, yes.
Well, that's one heck of an introduction for Mr. Regini. Yeah.
That's your introduction.
I mean, the guy aged 6 months.
He still looks young, though.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Just want to begin by saying that we've been working very closely with intergovernmental relations and with the departments, much like you described, Mr. Chair. We understand that it's not only important to understand the fiscal impact, but it's important for intergovernmental relations to be able to tell the story of what that fiscal impact means on Milwaukee County. And in that regard, the departments are extremely helpful in putting some narrative and some detail and some personal stories behind the numbers. Right now, what I'm going to be presenting to you is more the heartless budget side, just the numbers. But the departments can speak much more clearly about what this means to them. Mr. De La Rosa touched on probably the biggest concern I have. Reductions are always hard to take, but it's easier if you know what they are. When it comes to medical assistance, we only know the total bookmark, for lack of a better word, that's in the state budget. As we learn more, we can tell you how that will impact us. And it could impact us in a variety of ways depending on how they change or how they try and achieve those efficiencies, whether it's reducing eligibility, reducing reimbursement rates. Many of our departments are reimbursed through Medicare and Medicaid, so it could hit us a number of different ways. So we'll keep you informed as we know more, but at this point, we're really limited. And Ms. Lide can speak more to this than I can, certainly. We're really limited to just knowing what the state is hoping to achieve, but not how they will achieve it yet. The first reduction I'll talk on is state shared revenue. This was reduced for counties, $36.5 million statewide. We have not yet received confirmation from the state on what our reduction will be. Usually the Legislative Fiscal Bureau will run a statewide, who the winners and the losers are, or primarily the losers in this case. And I should preface all my comments that we're really waiting on the Legislative Fiscal Bureau to release their analysis. Intergovernmental Relations has explained that it'll probably be late this month, and that's really the definitive explanation of what's included in the budget. At this point, it's our analysis, and I think we're going to be accurate, but we'll wait to see what the Legislative Fiscal Bureau says. So a $36.5 million reduction, we believe, will impact us $6 to $9 million. The reason for the range is it's done on a per capita basis. So purely on a per capita basis, our reduction would be $6 million, as we understand the reduction. However, there's limits. There's a formula in place to prevent counties from being unduly harmed. And we believe we're significantly under those limits. So as other counties' excess cut gets redistributed, we believe ours could grow as high as $9 million. At this time, we believe our maximum liability, so to speak, is $9 million. But again, we're waiting for the Legislative Fiscal Bureau to provide more definitive information. As Mr. De La Rosa said, transit operating needs are reduced 10%. This will result in a reduction of approximately $7 million in state aid to the Milwaukee County Transit System in 2012. The state shared revenue, I should be specific, that reduction is in 2012. There appears to be no reduction in our 2011 budgeted state shared revenue. General transportation aids is also reduced 10% again in 2012. This is a much smaller number. We anticipate it to be approximately $400,000. It will primarily affect highways, but the Parks Department and the Sheriff's Office receives a small amount of general transportation aids funding. Child support revenue is reduced $3.6 million in 2012. This is due to a host of several factors that Ms. Marks can explain to you much better than I. It is somewhat to do with how the state used stimulus funding to fill a hole in the last annual budget. It also has to do with some of the technical complexities related to how child support is funded, but at this time we believe the reduction in 2012 is $3.6 million, and Ms. Marks can speak much more to that. At this time, we believe funding for mental health and AODA, alcohol and drug abuse programs at Behavioral Health Division, is reduced $650,000 in 2011 and $1.3 million in 2012. One of our unanswered questions relates to basic community aids. We're unable at this time to give you an estimate of a reduction there because we have conflicting information. We've seen information that suggests this also will be impacted by the 10% reduction in general purpose revenue. However, we've seen conflicting information that this is actually increased, that the amount for basic community aids is increased. It's further complicated because some of our BCA is intercepted, so we're not sure if there is a reduction, if it's off the gross or the net. So at this time, we're unable to provide you a range for BCA, but this is high on my list of things we'd like to get clarified. Youth AIDS is reduced $1.8 million in 2011 and $3.6 million in 2012. Mr. De La Rosa spoke about the JCI rates. This is the rate that we pay, the daily rate we pay for housing Milwaukee County juveniles and state institutions. Even though the JCI rate is increased in the budget,
$9, I think.
It's increased $9, but in fact our 2011 budget, this was one place we did a very good job, thanks to the division of juvenile detention for anticipating the increase. We will not impact see a budgetary impact because we've already anticipated that increase. However, the youth age reduction will result in a budgetary reduction. Funding for the circuit courts are reduced approximately $200,000 in 2011 and $400,000 in 2012. Mr. De La Rosa mentioned as a result of expiring stimulus funding, TAD and AIM grants are not replaced, resulting in the loss of an additional $800,000 in 2012 and another $800,000 in 2013. Effective July 2011, and there's a lot of questions around this, but as included in the budget, family care will be prohibited from enrolling new members. What we believe this will result in, although we're still trying to understand how this will be technically implemented, is you will likely have a waiting list for individuals over 60, and we will not be able to eliminate the current wait list for individuals with disabilities under the age of 60. As a part of family care expansion, we were every month taking individuals off our existing wait list and enrolling them to family care. As we understand the language included in the state budget, we probably will not be able to do this after July 2011 unless we have attrition within the program. And as Mr. De La Rosa explained, we're also unsure how that attrition will work. If an individual enrolled in our program here in Milwaukee County disenrolls, does that become a spot for Milwaukee County? The state will centralize income maintenance eligibility determination. This is another area where I don't have a lot of specifics for you, both operationally nor the fiscal impact. We've asked Corporation Counsel to work with the Department of Health and Human Services to better understand. There appears to also be conflicting information within the budget itself as it relates to the contribution that the county makes of approximately $2.7 million as part of that program. It would appear that the state will be taking over this function. So the approximately over 200 county employees were managed by the state. We're unsure what will happen to those employees at this point. We're still trying to understand what the impact will be. The final point as relates to the budget I want to speak on is property tax limitations. There are significant property tax limitations included in the budget as it's currently written. Not only are property tax increases limited to the rate of net new construction, which in Milwaukee County last year was 0.675%, but property tax relief must be provided if debt service on pre-2005 obligations decreases. We currently did an estimate, a very, very rough estimate, based on our understanding of how this would work. And if we're correct, we believe the county's property tax increase in 2012, based on current language, would be limited to less than $2 million. I can't emphasize enough that these are very initial estimates. We're working, as Mr. De La Rosa said, with a document that's written in statute language that's over 1,300 pages long. We have many people in the departments and in government relations who have been doing this for a number of years and are very good at interpreting that language. However, until the Fiscal Bureau puts out its report and we receive confirmations from the state, I would treat all these numbers as very preliminary. In addition, this is obviously the recommended budget. Our purpose here is to provide intergovernmental relations and your committee as much information as we can so that you can work and do the best job you can in getting some of these things changed. So the impact, of course, depends on how this budget gets adopted. The last comment I want to make is in relation to the budget repair bill. I'm even more reluctant to give the total impact on the county because of the budget repair bill. You cannot understand the budget without understanding the budget repair bill, and you can't really put a total dollar amount on the impact on Milwaukee County in the budget without determining the impact of the budget repair bill. Because regardless of how we may feel about the budget repair bill, it does provide additional tools to Milwaukee County. If we are able to implement it as it was signed, we will be able to hopefully achieve a large amount of the savings we've budgeted as regards to wage and benefit concessions. What we need to determine in 2012 particularly is how much of those savings we'll be able to apply to the reductions. The unique challenge Milwaukee County has is we have budgeted in 2011 much of the savings that the governor anticipated jurisdictions would use to offset their reductions. So we're in the process of trying to understand how much of the, based on the policy that's been adopted so far by Milwaukee County in the 2010 and 2011 budgets, what would the savings be in 2011, and what would the savings be in 2012, and how does that compare to the reductions? My very 25,000-foot impression of the budget as it stands is we will be able to manage the 2011 reductions, assuming we can implement the components of the budget repair bill that we're allowed to. 2012, I think, will be a much larger challenge because so much of the savings has been budgeted, and as Mr. De La Rosa explained, most of the reductions occur in 2012, so the impact is much larger that we need to overcome. The final thing I just want to say is, as it relates to policy decisions, while the state may reduce our funding in a certain area, it's ultimately the county's, your policy decision on how we address that. So whether it's a reduction in transit or whether it's a reduction in DHHS, this county, largely in the 2012 budget, will have to make decisions on how to allocate limited resources. So while the state may cut us in one place, it will be up to this county to determine how to address that. Certainly all the reductions are going to be very difficult to overcome given our challenges. We'll work diligently to present policy recommendations to the county executive and to this county board, and we'll continue to work with intergovernmental relations and with the departments to provide you as definitive an understanding of the state budget as we can and as it continues to change over the next several months.
Thank you very much. Questions, comments? Supervisor Cesar,
Mr. Chairman, in light of that last comment, will the departments as well as our teams be able to identify, let's just speculate and say, an appropriate state-mandated program that if the cost-benefit risk falls almost entirely on the county, might we not propose solving that problem by sending it back to the state? Can we identify that in part of the analysis?
Well, they're called state mandates.
I'm sure that's
because
called the
state
budget
mandates.
Yeah, it's called the budget process, but I'm just wondering.
Well,
if we keep an eye open for those
sure.
type of opportunity.
I would think we would, and the Republicans who are in the majorities right now have been on record in the past saying they want to do something about state mandates too. So these are the points I guess we'll definitely have to bring up. And we're talking about more local autonomy, UW system. So maybe we'll have some flexibility in trying to argue that. Supervisor Weishan, comment? Question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Regina, if you could get... I'm having trouble understanding this so-called tools in the toolbox here because the only thing I see is labor concessions as a tool being presented in this budget because we're not getting the flexibility that they claim on the property tax levy or on developing other revenue streams, whether it be a sales tax or anything else anybody can imagine. You know, so what are the so-called tools that you see that are being presented out there? Because everyone keeps on talking about tools, but I don't really see us having any.
Virginia.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, clearly, supervisor, when one says tools, they could mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, and there's a variety of tools that Milwaukee County has used over the past several years to balance its budget. I mean, since Milwaukee County was in existence, we use different tools to balance our budget, on the whether they be on the revenue side or the expenditure side. When it comes to the budget repair bill, the tools that have been provided to us are increased flexibility when it comes to employee benefits and work rules. And those are policy decisions that this county board has deliberated in the 2010 and 2011 budget. And I'm sure there will be policy decisions you'll have to deliberate going forward. I can't comment as to the appropriateness of those tools or whether those are the best tools. I can just explain to you that those are the tools that the state has given to us to deal with this current budget process. Clearly, we have other tools available to us that we use each and every year, but if you're asking about the tools provided through the budget repair bill, those are the ones I'm referencing.
Okay, right. I just want to make it very clear for everyone that, you know, okay, so we can possibly adjust some work rules and we can possibly adjust some wages and benefits. We have that so-called flexibility. But even that, I guess, could be debated at least possibly on the pension side and whether that would be litigated or not because of, since we're not in the state pension system, we have our own pension system, and there may be other unforeseen legal challenges on that. But so I just want to make that so everyone is clear about that, because we always make adjustments and all that kind of stuff, like as you pointed out, when we do our budget every year since 1838, I think we are. But I just think people keep on saying that, Scott Walker keeps on saying that we're giving us tools, but I don't really see these as tools that we can use, or appropriate tools. You can use a screwdriver to open up a can of paint, but that's really not what it's for. And you know, I just don't know if this is actually going to match up. And as you pointed out, that I think that we've already tried to use some of these techniques with questionable results, and so there's really not much left to kind of deplete from that so-called to create the cost savings. Could you just state, like, we have tool 1, 2, 3, and 4 that at our disposal that are new to this?
Mr. Chair, I'm just thinking through how I want to answer the question.
Sure.
I think I'll answer the question this way, and it's meant no disrespect to the supervisor. Mm. The 2010, I think the tools that are presented to us are very clear through the 2010, the 2011 budget, and they represent the adopted policies of this body. To reduce the multiplier for county employees to 1.6, to provide for a pension contribution, and to provide increased cost sharing and increased utilization, improve our utilization of our health care plan. Those are some of the tools that we used in the 2010, the 2011 budget to try and deal with the fiscal challenges that we have. The repair bill, as it's currently written and assuming we can implement it, will allow us to achieve many of those savings that we've currently budgeted in the 2010 and 2011 budget.
Well, I jump in, and I understand where you're going. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's employee-based. There's no question about that. Those are seemingly from our budget, the only tool we have. Is there anything additional? That's what you're asking about. Is that correct, Supervisor, or not?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I just wanted to make sure that everybody understands what, because when we go out there and, this spring and this summer when you're at your town hall meetings and standing on somebody's porch, they're going to say, Scott Walker said he gave you the tools. And we're all going to say, what tools are you talking about? Could you explain to me what they mean by tools? You know, he didn't give us a bag full of money. That's not one of the tools. He didn't give us flexibility to create different types of revenue streams. whether it is to create our own lottery or, you know, a new sales tax or give us, you know, this so-called local authority. And in fact, I actually see this as an amazing power grab by the state in the affairs of local government. They're telling us what we can and cannot negotiate with. They're telling us that we can't raise our property tax levy even if we want to. They tell us that we can't raise other revenue. Like I said, what the citizens of Milwaukee County had a referendum on the ballot saying that we wanted to raise the sales tax. The state is saying we can't do that. So I see this as an amazing big foot being stomped on us by the state on local government across, you know, the state of Wisconsin. And just one final point that I think needs to be made about all of this stuff is that when, you know, when I've looked at the budget and other analysis that have been written by other people across the state and by our own people here, I come to the conclusion that this is, you could call this the anti-stimulus budget for what it's actually going to do for the economy for the state of Wisconsin. Because where you see where the cuts are and things like that, like, you know, the earned income tax credit changes, the other things, what you're doing is seeing the employee wages, the 8% cut, is a huge amount of money being taken out of the economy at the level where people spend it the most, where people spend their money on gasoline and rent and food and basic commodities that keep things going. And there's this huge instability being instituted that people are going to pull back. They're not going to go buy that new wash machine and dryer for $800, $900 because they're going to be worried about the cuts they're going to sustain. And that's all going to ripple through the economy. And so I see this as not creating jobs for the future. It's actually, I think, going to retard the economic growth of the state of Wisconsin, at least in the near term, because it literally takes money out of the pockets of people in the working class that would spend that money quickly. And it institutes this level of fear out there. So I don't, you know, it makes people very uneasy about whether or not they're going to have a job. So they're going to be very reluctant to spend more money. And I think we're at that time in the economy where we were actually starting to feel a little bit better, and they reinstilled this fear in the populace out there. So I think it's the wrong way to go on a lot of things. And I think one of the big misconceptions is that we've been given a giant bag of tools and that somehow locals are in control, because we're not. The tools are limited at best, and that control is all with the state. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Broderick, you want to comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, along those same lines, really, when you mentioned Republican emphasis on local autonomy, I did a little twitch. I wasn't sure if you meant it in jest or not, because it seems to me that when you impose significant property tax limitations, as this budget proposes, that actually prohibits local communities from having choices in adjusting their priorities, and it hardly, it seems to me, serves the purpose of local autonomy. In fact, acts as a vice that is quite intentionally intended to squeeze local autonomy to the point of non-existence. So, I think I share the feelings about this use of the tools. I mean, it's a very interesting and perhaps clever way of tossing an abstract out that can be open to anyone's definition and then using it as a shield against criticism. Well, I gave you the tools. I mean, to me, this whole thing, I mean, you know, between this and the earlier bill that is an obvious and real attempt to suppress voter turnout because it votes Democratic, I think I know what the intent is. And I don't know how much we have to interpret this kind of stuff. It's written all over it. It's a muscle-bound political move aimed at breaking bones. You know, seems pretty simple.
Okay, thank you, Supervisor.
Sure.
Back to reality is the budget will
that
be
was reality, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Professor.
I guess what I meant by that, Supervisor, and for all, was that we have our department people here to say how we're going to have to react to this, and that's. And I guess I preface my remarks, if you recall, in the very beginning, I said we would have this meeting up to a week before we normally have it. We won't have it in the last week of the cycle on board day week. We have to have it the week before some afternoon. I told and warned everybody about that on the committee. So I think we've been given this idea, which is hopefully pretty solid, that the Legislative Fiscal Bureau will be out with their numbers and something we all got to look at. So I would not expect anything before that, practically speaking, because we need to react to that. And that will give you a couple weeks, everyone, then to, or maybe a week after that, to get some kind of information to this committee as a summary in your specific areas. So if you'd like to come up and summarize as you see it right now, and we'll look forward to the future. Ms. Becker, we have pretty substantial stuff for you. Do you feel you need to speak anymore?
No, not unless there are questions.
Okay. Then I'll just kind of just go left to right, sorry, without so no one feels slighted. So Ms. Stein, you're first then. And you all kind of came in together, so no matter what I do, I'll upset someone. But you're not upset. You're first, okay?
I'm not upset, neither are they. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, obviously the most disappointing thing in this budget is the stopping of family care as an entitlement for older people and people with disabilities, which has been promised to the state now for, we are in our 11th year of implementation. That means that family care will be capped on June 20th and that the next older person that applies for the benefit will go on a waiting list, and subsequently all older people will go on waiting lists for a home and community care benefit in this county. We kind of thought before Mr. De La Rosa enlightened us that as someone left our program, we could enroll new people. That may be a statewide enrollment. How the state would control that, we don't know. And I know Director Lyde will talk to you more about people with disabilities, where we have the largest waiting list in the state. This also means that in our resource centers, the folks that go out and do options counseling and enrollment, they'll still be going out to talk to people, but they'll be putting them on a waiting list. They will no longer be enrolling them, and that's how we earn Medicaid dollars, is by enrolling people in family care, so we won't be earning that anymore, and that's not, we can't quantify that yet, but we'll let you know. And then the other thing, of course, that does not affect the county budget, but will affect about 20,000 older people in Milwaukee County, is that they will no longer be eligible for the senior care benefit, which has been touted as the best prescription drug program in the country, and really, really helped Wisconsin seniors. And for all practical purposes, that is gone. When the department says people will have to apply for Part D if they're eligible, everybody on Medicare is eligible for Part D. They will be spending 20 or 30 times more money now on a prescription drug program than they were able to under the state program. And that's it's very, very disappointing. So those family care and senior care will hurt older people in this county and in this state pretty drastically.
Just one minute. Supervisor Broderick, go first. And
thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the press were present, I would ask for the sake of a story to have you outline in your imagination what the human costs of this might run to. But I think everyone in this room needs not be sensitized to that. But I would note the absence of the press. Thank you so much for your work.
Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Do you know the reasoning behind why they would eliminate the prescription drug option for seniors? I mean, how does that benefit the state?
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Weishaupt, the Department of Human Services contends that it will save the state $15 million. that's very strange, since in this biennial budget there's a $20 million surplus in the program because of the extended federal money and drug rebates that the program brings in. So I don't understand that math. I also don't understand when the first thing that happened after the presidential election was that every member of the Wisconsin state delegation of both parties and the governor signed a letter to the Obama administration saying that this was the best program ever created in Wisconsin, and they would hope that we would get a waiver from the Obama administration. The same thing happened in the Bush administration, where every member of the congressional delegation and the governor asked the Bush administration for a waiver. We didn't get it from them, but we did get it from Senator Cole, getting an appropriation in the war bill, which allowed for the continuation of senior care. But it clearly has huge support, or had huge support, and serves about 92,000 people in Wisconsin right now. So my guess is the answer will be saving money, but it's rather minimal money.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And
slide
we'll
A, would you like to read
this?
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I just first like to echo, I think, what Ms. Stein said about family care. Some of you will remember, you know, we worked very hard in this community to try to move toward the expansion of family care for younger individuals with disabilities. And we were really beginning to see some movement. We started with a waiting list of over 3,000. We are now at 2,000 individuals. When we first started, there were individuals that had been waiting 10 plus years. We now are starting to serve people who've been referred to us around the year of 2008. So we have really clearly been making some progress, and it will cap the number of younger persons who will be eligible, and that 2,000 will continue to grow, and we'll be back before you know it, because there are folks being referred every day to the same number that we started with that we've been working so hard over this last year. So the impact not only on the waiting list for older persons, as you know, they've been at entitlement, so they've been able to receive services. It will mean a waiting list for them, as well as a continued waiting list for younger folks with disabilities. So that is, from our standpoint, just a travesty. With reference to, I think, the other pieces, as Mr. Rajani said, the $500 million, the unknown, is of concern to us because many of the programs, that's the Medicaid, because many of the programs in the Behavioral Health Division are funded with Medicaid, many of the programs in Disability Services. So until we really see that impact, we really don't know what that's going to mean for us. There also was the potential, there is a 5% reduction that could occur this year. Mr. Rajani mentioned that in the mental health, the AODA area, and even our basic community aids, that could be 5% this year. We're still trying to get a determine that, but then it's 10% next year. So the timing is another, I think, factor of when you start looking and implementing these types of reductions. Clearly, they can't all come out of services. But, you know, we also, given the way things have gone, don't know exactly when they are going to actually sign the budget. So, you know, as longer that we wait, the more significant that impact will be with any kind of reductions we'll have to make in terms of the latter part of the year. And so we are clearly very concerned about that. There's some other pieces in the budget. I think as we look at what might happen if the state decides to move out of the Marsha Peacock Center, because as you know, we on our first and second floors, the state staff occupies that. We are working and feel pretty confident that we'll probably have a lease this year. But if they centralize, those functions next year, we're not certain to what impact that will have on our county staff at this point, and then if they will continue to remain there. So we may also have challenges around a vacant or some vacancies in a building right now that is completely filled and filled by the state, two floors, if they move based upon their centralization initiatives. And I just think the last piece, as Mr. Regini said, we may be able to be okay for this year, but there will have to clearly be some review of those services that are mandated. You know, we're back at that, those services that aren't, how we balance that with looking at, you know, staff reductions as well as services. And certainly, I think, as we look in the juvenile and our youth AIDS area, we're going to have to continue to monitor that real carefully. There was the resolution that was supported here, but, you know, there will be some reductions. We are anticipating a higher per-day cost for some of those state charges. So I do think overall there are many areas within DHHS that are going to be impacted by this budget, and they're going to really hurt people. You know, when we look at those non-mandated types of services like our homeless shelters, the services for domestic violence shelters, all of those are non-mandated services. We have a number of them in the department that really go to supporting individuals in this community because it's the safety net. And, you know, when you look at what we have to do versus those types of services that we're providing because it makes sense and it helps and supports people, I mean, those are where the real tough decisions are going to have to occur.
Thank you, Ms. Lady. Ms. Marks, you'll be next. Or anybody can come up together, sir, and introduce for those still listening to this excitement.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Lisa Marks, the director for the child support program in Milwaukee. I also have our chief legal counsel, Janet Nelson, who serves as the chairperson for the Wisconsin Child Support Enforcement Association, the statewide legislative chair. So she's very familiar with this issue. In the last cycle of this committee, I had an opportunity to explain a little bit about some of the funding challenges that the program was facing statewide, and how instrumental Ms. Bablich and Mr. De La Rosa were in assisting us in partially correcting a technical problem with the budget. Prior to the Deficit Reduction Act, prior to 2005, the child support program had the ability to match all of its performance revenue. When the Deficit Reduction Act was passed, all the incentive revenue that we earned just became that, incentive revenue. We lost our ability to pull down federal match on those dollars. That loss to Milwaukee County was about $2.6 million. We approached the Child Support Association, approached the legislature for some assistance, the 2007 Wisconsin Act 20 partially provided some GPR, general purpose revenue dollars, to help offset the funding that was cut at the federal level. That wasn't quite enough. You still saw counties really struggling with the child support program. In fact, in Milwaukee, you know, we saw some of our percentages decline. While we never suffered any performance consequences, you could see that people were waiting a little bit longer for services. As one of the benefits of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, we were allowed to, once again, for a two-year time period, match our incentive revenues. So whatever we earned in our performance incentives, we could, again, pull down federal match on those dollars. But that was time limited, and that time ran out on September 30th this past year. Because of the ability to match on those funds once again, when Governor Doyle was putting together his last biennial budget, the state, the joint finance, put in, again, general purpose revenue, but they reduced it from the previous budget of 5.5 GPR every year to 4.25 because we had ARA money in our budget. The intent of their legislation, of course, was to fully fund us at $8.5 million in GPR plus match going into the future, but because they only needed the 4.25, that created that technical problem. When Governor Doyle was figuring out his base budget, when he was still here, the base was certified at the $4.25 million per year in GPR. So that left us with one half statewide the money that we thought we were going to get. Again, as I explained in the last cycle, Ms. Bablich and Mr. De La Rosa were key in one of the last 1310 hearings of the year in having Joint Finance assign program revenue to DCF program revenue, Department of Children and Families program revenue, to this program and make sure that all of the counties had the money in the bank. The check is here for 2011 prior to the Doyle administration leaving. So for 2011, that was a long story, but for 2011, we're fine. Everything, that is the upshot. And so many thanks to IGR for assisting us in that. However, when Governor Walker was putting together his budget, that technical glitch was not dealt with. And so the base funding remained at the 4.25 million in GPR, and that creates a $3.6 million shortfall for just Milwaukee County
for 2012
and beyond. If you consider, we've just looked at some census data that one half of all the children who live in Milwaukee County are within our caseload. That means one half of the children that are in this county will be affected by this change.
All right, thank you. We'll look forward to more. Mr. Moe, you need to speak to anything? Correct. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Grant, you are up. Thank you. You're the gentleman. You waited for all the ladies to go, so.
Good afternoon.
Very good.
Mr. Chairman, supervisors. I'll be brief. We certainly will follow up with your request to provide a summary on what we know as well as what the fiscal impact of the state budget plan is. We'll certainly work with IGR to put that together. I can only add at this point to what Mr. Virginie said earlier, the 10% reduction, if the budget is passed in its present form, does equate to roughly $7 million in reduction in state operating aid for the transit system. I would add that the budget plan also provides for that to carry forward in fiscal year 2013. Meaning that there will be no increase in state aid for transit in 2013 as well. So this budget plan does have a multi-year effect, although our initial focus here is on 2012. Ultimately, the impact will go to the heart of the service that we provide the community. And you know, our primary job at the transit system is provide mobility to the public, whether that be to getting to schools, getting to health care, recreational venues, or jobs. This budget will impact that significantly. We will certainly look at every possible alternative to reduce costs going into this fiscal year. However, what this ultimately will mean is being forced to come back to the Finance Committee and this governing body with recommendations for service cuts and increases in fares, both on the fixed route and the paratransit services, I believe will ultimately be impacted. So we'll, as we speak, staff is working on scenarios as to how we can reduce services, because that is the heart of what we do. And again, we will certainly work with IGR to provide you with as much informed information as possible within the next couple of weeks.
Well, on behalf of myself and our committee, thank you all for spending this time. I know it's there's a lot of work to be done. We'll stay on tap, and we look forward to getting a little better insights. Mr. Regini, thank you, too. And our staff, as usual, really appreciate all the work. And I know it'll be in the month when we get the fiscal bureau report, I know we'll put some time in and get some back to us. So thank you all very much. I take any other questions then. Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.